You know, I really had to chuckle. Hey, there's a balloon up top. That's kind of funny, but that's why I was like, funny things on the ceiling. But I was just kind of thankful and kind of chuckling to myself. You know, everything that happens here this morning makes it so easy for me. And I was thinking, every once in a while, not too much anymore, I'll make cookies. It's kind of a last-minute thing. I want to make some cookies, and they require a stick of butter. So I get one out of my freezer, and I'm like, dang, it's frozen. And so I'll try put it in the microwave just a little bit, and it gets it soft, and it can cut the butter. And that's how I feel about this morning. Just everything that happened, the words of encouragement, the worship time, Liz's words, Brian. I was like, Brian, you're stealing my message. I was like, man, the butter's soft. This is easy. So anyway, it tickled me. Let's pray. Father, you are so good. You are so good, and you love us tremendously. And I thank you, Father, that today you just reveal your love more and more and more today through your word that has been spoken, that will be spoken. And our part is, Lord, we say, we open our heart to receive what you have for our lives in Jesus' name. And everybody got Pentecostal on me and said, amen. Amen. You didn't know that. Yay. Okay, today is week two. We're on a series I started called Not My Own. So if you're taking notes, you can write that at the top, Not My Own. And our key scripture, you can open up your Bibles to 1 Corinthians 6:19. We're going to be using that for the next couple of weeks. This is our key scripture. Here we go. 1 Corinthians 6:19. Do you not know that your bodies are the temple of the who?
Holy.
The Holy Spirit, who is where? In you, whom you have received from God. So Paul, he's so cute, he's asking a question. Like, hey guys, have you figured this out? So here it is. Here's the big picture. We have this Holy Spirit. He's talking about the Holy Spirit. He's omnipresent, a.k.a. he's everywhere. He's everywhere. And if you don't know him, you haven't received him, or you don't even believe in who God is, that's okay. He is everywhere. And he is softening your heart. He is drawing you to him. That's what he's doing. But if you have accepted Jesus into your heart, listen, he has now made you holy and blameless without fault. Everybody go, that's magnificent. Yeah. All right, it is, okay? And he literally comes and lives on the inside of you. That's what happens here. So I like the way Paul ends the last part of verse 19. He says, you are not your own. Verse 20, you are bought at a price, a very high price. So therefore, honor God with your bodies. Praise God. You know, this is amazing to think about, that Jesus purchased you. He hung on that cross. He didn't have to. It was out of love. And he purchased you through his precious blood. And he has set you free. He has redeemed you. He's given you a new life and a new name. And you are his possessions. Tell your neighbor, I'm God's possessions. Yeah, that's amazing. So last week we talked about our bodies are not our own. This week I want to talk about this truth, that your life is not your own. Your body's not your own, and your life is not your own. Some of you are squirming in your chairs right now. Yep, your life is not your own. Now, there's something that God puts inside of you that you can't find it anyplace else. There's something that God deposits in you. There's something that God does in you that you can't get anywhere else on this planet. And it's the substance that everybody's looking for. Everybody's trying to do all sorts of things. And if you haven't found this substance that God puts in you, you're looking for it in, my mama would say, all the wrong places, all right? You're looking for it in the wrong places, and you'll be like this hole on the inside. It's just not being filled in all the wrong places, all right? So today I want to talk about this substance, it's called, that God gives us, that God puts inside of us. It's called purpose. So if you're taking notes, we're going to talk about purpose. All right, now, purpose is this thing that he puts inside of us, and this is that he puts in, let me back up. He puts in every single one of us. He puts it in you, and he puts it in me, but it's a God purpose, All right. Now, when my kids were little, you had chores. Those were your purposes. Empty the dishwasher, take the trash out. But this is, I'm not talking natural things. I'm talking about God purpose, God purposes that he has for us. So I want to give you a definition. I'm going to call this the Bible definition. It goes like this for purpose. Purpose is defined as the reason for which something is created or exists. So the very reason that you exist is for a purpose. You're on this planet for a purpose. But you're sitting in this chair for a purpose from the Lord, all right? And once you figure this out, it's just amazing. Now, I think about all of our day jobs, all right? And I think of some of these people that do amazing things on their day jobs. I think of first responders, okay, police officers, firemen, EMTs, and I think of teachers, and I think of all of you do things that are amazing on the planet for your day jobs, right? Everybody say, yeah. But some of you are like, yeah, but hang on there, all right? So you're all contributing something, everybody, all right? But none of those things, as valuable as you think they are going to line up to the purposes of God. So all those things that you do in the natural, good, keep doing them, all right? But nothing compares to the purpose of God that he puts inside of you. Let me read this. This is from the Gallup poll, because I read this and I thought, ooh, this is good for this morning. Plus, ooh, I think this is true. Listen to this. Ready? 70% of the working people in the United States are unhappy with their jobs. I will not ask you to raise your hands, okay? Why? Because they're unfulfilled. Right? All right. And I think, now listen, some people are happy with their jobs. Raise your hand if you're happy with your jobs. Okay, we have, oh, that's a, praise God. All right. But most people go to work because they want to eat, right? They work because they need to have some things. And then listen, there's nothing wrong. Please go work, all righty? But our fulfillment, our purpose, fulfillment, what's going to fill this thing here is when you are working, or you are, know, when you know the purpose of God, when you're working for him, when you get there. All right, I'm kind of getting my ahead of myself. So I want to give you two examples of two very famous people. If you're really young, you might have to talk to Google on my last one, because I look out some days and go, I don't think they know what I'm talking about. But anyway, They're really famous, okay? I understand that both had received Jesus, so they are in heaven. I understand this. I've read this several times for both of them, okay? But there's a big contrast between the two of them. The first one, put it up there, Jason. You youngins, you don't know this guy. Oh. This is Elvis Presley, all right? And he's in heaven. I've read several people that shared that, okay? they also are coming out with a new movie about him. I haven't seen it yet. Let me know if I should spend money and see this, okay? All right, because I'm really about movies I watch, okay? But anyway, he's super famous, okay? Some of you are like, I don't know who he is, but he really is. He was, and he is super famous, okay? And this is what he did. This is about his fame. Listen to this. Elvis had 74 albums and 102 singles. Some of you don't even know what a single is. This is before a Spotify and streaming. This was even before cassettes. Okay, these were the small records with a big hole in it. And how many of you know what that is? Better yet, who doesn't know what that is? Some of you. Jeez, okay. Now, in order to have 102 singles, that meant you listened to your radio. So maybe you've never listened to the radio. Okay, you listen to your radio. Okay, keep moving, Pastor D. Okay, so he also had 31 number one hits over 21 years period, and he starred in 31 movies. Oh my gosh. Go home. I don't know where you find this stuff. My kids press the buttons for me. But when I was little, long, long time ago, far, far away place, Sunday afternoon, we'd put on the TV, and we didn't have, you know, we had bunny ears. You know the antenna? Some of you don't even know what that is, okay? We had bunny ears on top of our TV, and we'd dial it in, and Sunday afternoon, my sisters and I would watch Elvis movies. Oh, my gosh. Okay. I just loved him. I really did. Okay. But And you know, who did? Yeah, you're young too. Okay. So I loved him, and you would think, man, he is so famous. Wow. Okay? With his fame came tons of money. It's okay. Tons of money. And then he'd put on a concert, and these girls would be going, Elvis! Ah! And they'd faint, Elvis! Ah! Okay, really, really, really. You can find some black and whites like that, okay? So you would think Elvis would do the Rocky thing. I'm so famous. I'm so, you know, whoa. You would think, but no. Listen to what his wife wrote about him after his death. Listen to this. This is his wife, Priscilla, who wrote concerning Elvis. She said, he never came to terms with who he was really meant to be or what his purpose in life was. Can you imagine? Okay? He thought he was there for a different reason, maybe to preach, maybe to serve, or maybe to save or care for people. So listen, he's like, I don't know why I was created. That's what he's saying, all right? And it kind of, you know, this is amazing. He did not know, with all this fame, he didn't know what he was created for, all right? Listen to the second part. Wrong page. Here we go. This is what his wife wrote. That agonizing desire was always within him, right? That was always within him. I lost my place. And he knew he wasn't fulfilling it, so he would go on stage so he wouldn't think about it. And he would say to me, I know I'm here for something else. So think about it. This guy is super famous. He's super wealthy, okay? And he did not find his purpose, all right? So I read that and I go, none of us are going to find our purpose in this world that way, all right? And it's not that we don't have jobs. Y'all should have a job, enjoy your jobs, God bless you. And it's not that God doesn't want to bless your business and bless you in your life, okay? But there has to come a time in your life when you go, what is my purpose with the Lord on this planet? Why am I existing? Because you could hear that there, all right? Here's my second guy. Opposites, okay, super famous, but not an entertainer. Do you know who, anybody know who he is? I'll give you a lollipop. John D. Rockefeller. Yeah. Okay. Some of you are going to have to go look it up. I'm telling you, all young, don't even know who this guy is, okay? How many of you know who John D. Rockefeller is? Okay. Praise Lord. Okay, let me tell you about John and all his accomplishments. John D. Rockefeller owned the Standard Oil Company. This was mega big. So much so, please, I'm just going to look at the floor when I say this, so much so that the government had to get in there and break it up into small companies. No comment, okay? Listen to this, though. His net worth was $292 billion. Today, that's what his net worth was. So let's round it up, $300 billion. I don't even know how to put zeros on that anymore, all right? And it's really interesting. So I would say he was, and it says he was the wealthiest man on the planet. And I know there's guys coming up close, okay? But at that time, he was the wealthiest man on the planet. And every once in a while, some kid will come up, well, Pastor D, I read in my Bible that Solomon was the wealthiest man on the planet. Well, I have an opinion, okay? Here's my opinion, all right? I think he cheated. You know why? He had a kingdom, and he required everybody to pay taxes. That's how we got it. All right, just moving on, okay? So, John D. Rock, just someday, you know, when I'm alone, you wonder what Pastor D's thinking. All right, so John D. Rockefeller, I got to look at my notes because I'm kind of all over. John D. Rockefeller was super wealthy, and you will never read that he couldn't figure out what his purpose was in life. You will never hear his wife write anything about that. He will never say, I came to this planet, but I don't know what my purpose was. So, both of those guys that I'm talking about had received Jesus, okay? But one of them found it, all right? Listen to this. John D. Rockefeller attended prayer meetings twice a week. John D. Rockefeller led a Bible study every week at his home church, which is in Cleveland, Ohio, because that's where Standard Oil was, I don't know, okay? So here's this guy. He goes to church, not a mega church. He goes to a church right? And he went to prayer meetings twice a week, twice a week. Now, I got to thinking, you know, one of these moments, Pastor D, I got to thinking, well, you know, he could have said, hey, you know, I don't feel like that's my purpose or my calling. Pastor, I'm going to give you $300,000 a year, and you just go hire some prayer warriors that'll pray twice a week. You know, I'll give you this money every year. You can just go hire these people to do that. And he could have been, end of story, this is easy. But he didn't. He knew his purpose, and he did something. By the way, Prayer for York is every month on the 24th. Yeah. I would love to have prayer every day here. Praise God. Okay. Now, John D. Rockefeller could have said, you know, the Word of God is so important. You know, we need to teach the Word. Pastor, I'll give you $500,000 a year, and you just go hire a bunch of teachers. Hire teachers that will go in and teach and grow groups. Yeah. And teach here and teach there. And, you know, he could have said that, but he didn't. He said, this is my plans. This is God's plans. These are his purposes, and I'm going to go do it. All right. Some of you are like, well, Pastor Dan, I know where you're going. All right. He figured it out, guys, all right? And he knew it. He figured it out. He knew it, and he got involved. So every one of you are created by God, and he's given you God purpose. He's put purpose inside of you, okay? And it's purpose to do something amazing. And you're thinking, oh, what I do isn't amazing. No, if God gave you purpose and gifts and talents and ability, it's amazing. Tell yourself you're amazing, okay? Look in the mirror and say you're amazing, all right? Okay, so here's my main idea that I want you to understand more clearly. I'll tell you what, it'll change your life. So here we go. If you're taking notes, here's our main idea. Ready? Understanding our God-given purpose gives our life purpose, okay? And when you understand your God purpose, it fills the gap. It fills, and you go, this is who I am. This is what I'm called to do. When you understand your purpose, all right? So I've got 2 points that we're going to go over today. The first point is this. If you're taking notes, write this down. Our purpose entered the world when we did. Our purpose entered the world when we did, all right? So when you realize your purpose entered the world when we did, you'll just live life differently. When you understand that your purpose entered when you came to this planet, you'll never think, I'm just so insignificant. You'll never think that way, but you have to understand this. All righty. I found this in a book years ago, and it's a post-it note in my office, and I don't remember where I stole this from, so I'm acknowledging this. But this, write this down. You can make it your post-it note. Here we go. You are not one in a million. You are not one in a million. You are one of a kind. So I thought about my life, okay, and I thought, there's a million pastors in the United States. Millions of them, all right? And some of them are just accomplishing way more than I am. I mean, they are just making a big impact. But you know what? I may not be one in a million, but I am one of a kind. Tell your neighbor, you are one of a kind. And then I used to tell my son, in the making. All right. So for me, God has made me, created me quite unique, right? To do things for his kingdom. He has given me purpose. And his purpose, he's equipped me to do it. And he even called me to York, not Hawaii. And I'm okay with that because I like snow, all right? But okay, so do you know what God did for you? He gave you purpose. God, you gave me purpose. All right? Okay? And you know how he did it? He put his spirit inside of you. That is the real you. He put his spirit inside of you. And he gave you the spirit, and he gave you a soul, which is your mind, your will, and your emotions. And then he put you in this body. All right? So the real you is your spirit. Your spirit is the real you. The real you that God created you as spirit is the real you, all right? And listen to this. I thought about this. In the Bible it says, people who would see people who had died and came back, They recognize them. All right, go look that up. I'll give you a hint. Jesus on the Mount of Transfiguration. Go write that down, look it up later. But I was like, that's only one of them. But people would see people that had come back and they would recognize them because the real you looks like you. The real, your spirit will look like you. Okay, it'll look like this, okay? I'm believing to trim down, okay? We'll see how we get there. Just might shock y'all, okay? All right, so I gotta read my notes because I'm all over the place. So you look the same, the real you, your spirit looks the same, you just happen to be living in this body, all right? Now, that's really important that you understand. The real you is your spirit, does live in this body. But also, listen to this, your mom and dad did not make your spirit. Amen. They did not. So, turn over to Zechariah. Let me give you a good scripture on this. Mom and dad did not make your spirit. God made your spirit. Mom and dad. Okay. Zechariah 12:1. The Lord who stretched out the nations, who lays the foundation of the earth. That's pretty big. Whoa. Okay? And look what else he does. And who formed us, the human spirit within a person, declares. All right. So let me say this. At the moment of conception, okay, what happened? God literally made your spirit and put it inside of you. Boom. Okay? Now, mom and dad were responsible for the body part, okay, and the soul, all right? But who put this inside of you? Your spirit, God. That's what God does. So whether you had good parents or not so good parents, whether you had born into good circumstances or really bad circumstances, doesn't matter what color your skin is, it doesn't matter what ethnic background you are, that is the outer shell, okay? That's the outside stuff. Who put the spirit inside of you? God did, all right? Okay, and that's what matters, all right? And sometimes, people, when you finally get that, you're not too concerned about all of that, okay? And you just go, man, I have significance. I am valuable. Dang, I am cool, okay? Because I know this has been put inside of me. Let me tell you a story. I was watching this interview, I think it was 2 years ago, of a pastor. And this pastor, super successful if you go by numbers, okay? He had a large church. He had satellite churches, and they were just doing all sorts of things, okay? But listen to this. He was, whatever, a result of a rape. Super successful pastor. All right, and I think, how did that mom emotionally carry this child? Okay. And you know what I liked about this guy? He didn't walk around and say, I can never do anything. Look who I am. Look where I came from. Oh, no, his mama told him. The word of God told him. I am significant. The real me is the spirit, and that outside stuff, it doesn't matter where you came from. It doesn't matter the circumstances. The real you is significant, is amazing. Tell yourself you're amazing, okay, because God made you. Amen. And, you know, sometimes I think, you know, Pastor D laying around did too many thoughts. Sometimes I think God looks at people that have really absurd, crummy circumstances, and he's like, oh, yeah, I'm going to put my spirit in them big, okay? And I'm going to dump these gifts and purposes and abilities inside them just so they can astound everybody. Wow. And people are going to go, what? You're too young to do that. You're too old to that. Do you know how you came about? And you just go, shh, the real me is the spirit, and I'm made in the image and likeness of God. Okay. Amen. So God puts purpose, all righty? Let's finish reading. Where am I going now? I got preachy over there, and I don't know where I am on my notes. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Isaiah 49. I'm with it. Isaiah 49, chapter 1. Isaiah 49, okay? Listen to me, you islands. Hear this, you distant nations. This is God speaking through the prophet Isaiah. Listen to what he says. Before I was born, the Lord called me from my mother's womb. okay? And he has spoken my name. Okay, so before you all were born, God called you, gave you a purpose, right? And he gave you gifts and plans, okay? And the second part is he put a spirit inside of you. You are incredible. You're made in his image and likeness. And then that the other part is he called you by name. Before you were born in this baby, he gave you a name. God gave you a name. He called you by name. You are not insignificant. You are not of, I'm just nobody. No, God knows you, all right? So, God has given you a purpose to serve his kingdom. He has called you to serve his kingdom. He has given you a new name. He knows you and a purpose. You are amazing. I am amazing. Look in your mirror. I'm amazing. All right. So that's just Isaiah. Let me go on to this other guy. This other guy is Jeremiah. Jeremiah is just a young guy, and God appears to him. Okay. God appears to him, and he tells him, I have called you to be a prophet to the nations. All right. You can turn over to Jeremiah chapter 1. But anyway, so and Jeremiah is like, no, I can't do that. I'm too young. God, I'm shy. You know me. I'm shy. God, I don't have any experience in this. So he's given excuse. And God goes, yes. I have called you, right? I have called you while you're in your mother's womb, and I've given you purposes and plans, and I called you to be a prophet to the nations, all right? So God is trying to give Isaiah a pep talk. Anybody ever have a pep talk? Like you're just like, I don't know if I can do that. And someone comes along, well, how about God gives you a pep talk? Listen to Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 5. Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 5. He says this, before I shaped you in the womb, that's making your spirit, right? I knew all about you. So God knows the beginning and the end. Guess who knows all about you? He knows all about you. He even knows about your personality, okay? Sometimes we're like, I don't like my personality. I wish I could be like so-and-so. I wish I could do this. No. God knows all about you, and he shaped you, okay? Now, I did one of those I've done them probably every 10 years. I do a personality test thinking it'll change, okay? But anyway, my grandson says, actually, Grandma, I lean on the introvert side. Actually, I do. But right after church, I make a beeline to like the back there in the foyer, and I have the most fun talking to everybody. I try to talk to you, not because I'm Pastor Dean, I have to talk to you. I just love talking to you, okay? And I'll try to get, you know, how's your day, what's going on? And then I go home, and my battery's drained. I'm on the sofa staring at the ceiling, okay? But I had fun. Okay? And then you extroverts. Anybody I know here? Extroverts. You're like, wow, this was the greatest day. I am energized. I got to talk to everybody, okay? So let's just kind of be in the in-between there, all right? Okay, just saying. Okay, all right. Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 5. Second part. Here we go. Before I shaped you in your mother's womb, I knew all about you. Praise God. So he knows all about you. How does he know all about you? He made you. He put his spirit inside you. He gave you purposes. He gave you gifts. He knows you, okay? And sometimes we're like, well, I wish I looked like her. I wish I looked like that. Cut it out. He just wants to blow everybody away with all your gifts. Who cares what you look like, all right? It's not the outside. It's the inside. Amen? All right. Okay, the next part. Before I saw the light of day, I had holy plans for you. Purposes and callings, okay? And here's Jeremiah's purpose and callings. A prophet to the nations. All right? That's what I had in mind for you. So God is trying to say, it doesn't matter how young you are. It doesn't matter what you think you are. I have put my spirit in you. I've given you plans and purposes. And by the way, you can do it because I did this. So everybody say, I can do this. Okay, so that's Old Testament. What does this have to do with Jesus? I'm glad you asked me. Okay, when you were born again, when you received Jesus, you were born a man, what God put his spirit inside of you, right? And he also put purposes and plans and abilities and gifts inside of you. Everybody say, they're in me. Okay, now, then comes the age of accountability. Okay, read Paul, he'll tell you about it. But if we don't accept Jesus, okay, it says, the Bible says over there, that our spirit dies. And really what that means, you're separated from God. And you're like, oh, no, how can I do my plans and purposes? Okay, let me tell you what happens. But because Jesus died for you, all right, and there's this miracle that happens on the inside, and this spirit that died, okay, that spirit that died is now, when you accept Jesus, comes alive. It's reborn. Everybody say, you know, when you read your Bible, you must be born again. Reborn, born again. Spirit's born again. It is beautiful. It is nicer than before, okay? So you accept Jesus, right? And then when you do that, your purposes and plans and gifts haven't left, but you won't be able to fulfill them until you ask Jesus into your life and he puts this new, alive spirit in you. Praise God. So I've got his spirit in. I'm created in his image and likeness, okay? And then I have the ability to do the purposes, then the callings and the gifts he's already planned out for me. Praise God. So let's read that that other part here. Here we go. Oh, yeah. Here we go. Recreated in Christ, born anew, that we may do those good works which God predestined, planned before him, the purposes, okay? For us, taking paths which he prepared ahead of time, okay? He's already planned them out. Good thing, okay? So he's planned out for you to serve him, to work in his kingdom, maybe work in a parachurch or work in a volunteer in a church, okay? And then the last part says that we should walk in them, living the good life which he prearranged and made ready for us, okay? So the good life is when you get in the groove. I know my purpose. Oh, that is good. I know the plans. I know the gifts. And I'm doing it, all right? And you know, here at YCF, I see a whole bunch of you. Just you figured it out. You figured out your plans and your purposes, and you're in the groove. And I can tell you got happy faces going on, all right? All right? And you're all volunteers, okay? That's so wonderful, all right? Now, the amazing thing is, keep smiling, you can't get to that, not a feeling place, but that groove where you know, you can't get to that until you meet Jesus. And there's lots of things you do in the natural, okay? And they're good, and some of them make me happy and stuff, but man, you get in the groove and you know what your spiritual purpose is. Woo, wonderful. So, point number one, get ready for point number two, but point number one, your purpose came into the world with you. Point number two, if you're taking notes, you ought to write this down. Ready? Our purpose is discovered when we make Jesus our purpose. I gotta say that again. Our purpose is discovered when we make Jesus our purpose, okay? So there needs to come a time in our life where we go, Jesus, I thank you for all that you've done for me. I thank you that you left heaven and came to earth and you died for me. And your perfect blood was the sacrifice. And you paid for my sin debt. And you redeemed me. And now heaven's my future home. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. And because of all of that, I want to seek your kingdom first. I want that to be the most important thing in my life. The most important thing in life, okay? And when that happens, things, happen. Alrighty, listen. Okay, shifting gears, but stay on the path. Okay. Have you ever heard the term in the New Testament, bond servant? Bond servant, okay. So you'll see this in the New Testament, and you'll see this in the Old Testament. In the Old Testament, it's types and shadows of the New, and it's really beautiful. So I want to talk about this, all right? But first, Deuteronomy chapter 15. I think I'm all over the place here. Yep, I skipped a couple pages. That's okay. Deuteronomy chapter 15, verse 12. If any of you, we're talking about a bondservant, if any of your people, Hebrew men or women, sell themselves to you and serve you 6 years, in the seventh year, you must let them go free. All right. So let me explain this. Back then, they didn't have bankruptcy laws. Okay, they didn't have any of that stuff back then. So let's say I borrowed tons of money from you, okay, and I can't pay it back. I can't pay back the debt. All righty. So what I would do is say, could I be a servant? Servitude. I'd go into servitude, be a servant. Okay. This is not slavery like we've had in our country. Matter of fact, God is 100%. He hates slavery. And in the Old Testament, he says, listen to this. You are not allowed to kidnap anybody or make them a slave. God hates this. And if you were a Jew that got caught doing this, they'd take up those big stones and stone you to death. Okay, so this is not about slavery, okay? This is about somebody saying, hey, I can't pay back what I owe you. I just can't do it, but I want to serve you. I want to be a bond servant to you, okay? Now, while they are serving you, you are really nice to them. Okay? You provide a nice place for them to live. You provide food for them. You take care of their kids, okay? While they're working off their debt for 6 years, maybe less. Okay, 6 years, okay? And God said, I want you to, you can do that for 6 years, and then on the seventh year, free. Okay? You understand what this is all about? Now, listen to verse 13. So this is about somebody being a bondservant, okay? When you release them, do not send them away empty-handed. Ooh. Supply them liberally from your flock, your threshing floor, and your wine press. Give them as the Lord your God has blessed you. Remember that you were slaves in Egypt, and the Lord your God redeemed you. That is why I give you this command today. So I like this part. So at the end of your 6 years, the seventh year, you are to supply them with all this stuff, what, flocks and threshing floor and wine press. And I like what Andrew Warmuck says, that's your severance pay. I thought, you're right, that's your severance pay, okay? But so they took care of them, all right? And then listen to verse 17. So you have been taken care of very well, taken care of well. And verse 17, then an awl, A-W-L, and push it through the earlobe, pierce the ear, okay, to the door, or like, a little gross, okay? And he will become your servant. Do the same for your female servants, okay? So this is called a bond servant. So let's just say, I have not done really well with managing my life. I am now bankrupt, okay? And I go to you because you are my friend, and I go, can I be your bond servant, okay? And you take me in, and you feed me, and you give me a place to live, and you even take my kids, and you just treat them like gold, you know? And then I go, you are so awesome for what you've done for me. Can I be your bond servant forever? Okay, and God said, you can do that. You can do that. All right, bond servant, Jesus. So, why am I sharing this? It parallels with the New Testament because the day you accepted Jesus Christ to be your personal Lord and Savior, the day you had an encounter where you go, oh, Jesus, I need you, okay? What did Jesus do? He delivered you out of darkness, the enemy's camp, and put you into his kingdom, his kingdom. He has given you a new name. He has paid your debt. He has, and what else did he do? Let's see. Oh, yeah, my name is written in the life of the Lamb's Book of Life of whatever. I'm so excited about this. Okay, and then he calls you a child of God. You're a son and daughter. He sets you free. And because of all that, I stand before him and I go, Lord, you have done everything and given everything for me. I want to be your bondservant. I am here to serve you. You understand that, it'll change how you get up in the morning. Amen. Praise God. And I hear heaven's my home and stuff. And I hear people, I've heard this, and none of y'all, okay, because y'all are so smart, because Pastor D and Pastor Sherry taught you so well. And okay, but I've heard people say, oh, Pastor D, I'm just working for God. I'm doing stuff in God's kingdom. So when I get to heaven, I won't live in a shack. And I go, guys, heaven. Heaven, listen, heaven, there is perfect weather, no tornadoes and hurricanes and floods. You could live by the lake. There's no bugs and snakes. Heaven, you don't have to work. That is work mentality, okay? And that my mentality should be, God, Jesus, wow. You did everything for me that I could not do. You're so gracious, for by grace I am saved. And I am in awe and thanksgiving. So, Lord, I want to be your bondservant. I surrender my life to you. Boy, that's a happy one. Everybody should be clapping. Yeah, okay. Okay. So, let me give you some New Testament scriptures and we'll wrap up. Praise the Lord. Romans chapter 1. This is Paul writing this. Listen to what he says. Paul says, okay, before I read, okay, let me read that. Okay. Paul, a bondservant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated to the gospel of God. Okay. Nowadays, you were told how to address people. And I would get my hand spanked for saying, hey, you guys. Okay, right? They're just telling you what I'm supposed to say. And it changes every 5 minutes how you're supposed to address people. And I'm going to say this once, but I'm eternal. But I am an old person and I am going to offend you because I just, you know, I don't get it. Just, okay? But listen to what we should say. Ready? This is what he said. Ready? Paul said this. I am a bondservant of Jesus Christ. That's what you should introduce yourself. I am a bondservant, okay? A bondservant. And what does it mean? Jesus, you set me free. You paid my debt. You have given me a future home in heaven. I am yours. And I just say, I want to be yours, a bondservant for you, to serve you, okay? Now, the second part of that part is listen to the second part of that is, and called to be an apostle. So that's his purpose, but he didn't start there. Paul started out just helping wherever he wanted, telling everybody about Jesus. And many years later, that was the second part of his purpose, to be an apostle. But he just started out, Joe Schmo, Paul Schmo, right? Just serving, okay? And Peter, same thing. Peter, okay, I'll just give you this. 2 Peter 1:1, Peter says the same thing. He introduced himself. Peter walked with Jesus, did crazy things, saw crazy things, amazing. Peter, and he introduced himself, bondservant, servant, surrendered, bondservant of the Lord Jesus. And then he goes on, okay? So, what did these guys understand? They understood, stand, whatever. They were free. God had done everything for them, had given them everything, and they just said, Lord, just surrender my life to be your servant, to be your bondservant. And that is what it's all about. They are teaching them then, and us now, all right? So here we go. Put your seatbelts on. I look around here, and I see so many servants of YCF, not me. Jesus, okay? I see people that serve on schedules once a month, twice a month, people that serve for events, and I'm going, wow. And this morning, okay, so I got up around 5:10, looked at that clock for 5 more minutes, got out of bed, did my stuff, had my coffee, read and prayed, got ready, hop in my car, I do this every Sunday, at 8:30, I head out of my driveway, and I drive here, and I got here, it takes me 15 minutes, okay, and I get here, and they're cars in the parking lot. People are here before me. 6 cars in the parking lot. Got my worship team. I got Wayne back there and Deb. They're here before I am. And Brad, did you unlock the building? Yeah, what time did you get here?
Quarter after eight.
Okay. And I occasionally I'll meet him. Maybe once in a blue moon around that time, because I don't get there that early. But I'll see him, and he's just walking down the hallway, unlocking the doors, turning lights on, and he's got a smile. He does. I've seen him. And I walked up to Wayne when I finally got up here. I made some copies, and then I got up here around 9 upstairs. And I go, Wayne, how you doing? He's got this smile on his face. There's Deb back there, comes in early to make y'all coffee. She's got a smile on her face, right? And my worship team, hey, everybody. And they're all just, you know why? Because they discovered their purpose, and they said, Lord, what do you want me to do? I'll do it, all right? And I see joy. I see joy on their face, okay? Some of you, if I asked you to be here at 8:15, and the coffee's not made yet at 8:15, praise, okay? I just want to thank everybody that serves at YCF. I mean, all different places. And some of you do stuff I don't even know about. I was like, I come in one day, and I'm like, who did that? And I ask, nobody knows. Somebody knew. But I just say thank you. Thank you from the bottom of my heart. Because you've come to the place where you go, Lord, you have done everything for my life. You've set me free. I just want to serve you. And you just hop in there. So, some of you here, okay, smile. Some of you here, you know your purpose. Yeah, you know your purpose. And you're just like, well, what should I do? What should I do? Okay, blue card in front of you. Grab one. Seriously. I do know that everybody is at different ages and stages in your life, and sometimes you just can't do that much. I mean, I have had seasons in my life where I just made it in here and I smiled. But, how about you go, but God, I realize that you put purpose, a God purpose in my life, and you gave me gifts and talents and abilities, and God, I'm just going to surrender it to you. How about you do that, all right? How about you say, okay, so when you do that, wink, 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 okay? And there's a lot of things that aren't on that blue card. And if you see, just let me know, okay? But fill out that blue card, okay? Anyway, how about, once you realize I have purpose and callings and gifts and my desire is to serve the Lord, okay? And you have to go, okay, where do you want me? Where do you want me? And you can volunteer at church. You can volunteer at parachurch ministries. And there's all sorts of good things, okay? And maybe you're one of those, this is me. I like everything in their boxes, in the right colors, nothing laying around. So you know what I'd be good at? But I try not to do, but I do, but I'm not. Okay, you see those seat backs after church? If you're one of those personalities, why don't you come and straighten them up? That's easy, okay? I know, and I pick up every paper, and I'm like, don't do that. It's just me. It's just my personality, aside from other things, okay? Oh, okay, let me tell you a story real quick. So when we were back in Tulsa, way back in the day, going to a wonderful church, pastor made an announcement one day, and he says, hey, we need some help in the toddlers ministry. And a good friend of ours, this guy who's like 20 years old, not dating, not married, no kids, he goes, okay, I'll help, but, I don't really like kids. And, they're really noisy. And, I don't really have a lot of patience. And I don't know nothing about teaching. And the pastor said, that's okay. We got a professional that'll be with you, and she'll teach you how to teach. Okay? Now, he didn't start. Would I have picked him? No, you don't qualify for nothing. But listen, he just said, I know, but I take them now. We take anybody. No, children's ministry, you have to pass clearances. But anyway, I watched this guy serve for 3 years in the toddler ministry, and he loved it. He fell in kids with the kids, fell in love with kids, and he had such joy. All right. So anyway, everybody, what do you all have? You have been called and created with a purpose from God. I don't know what it is. What should I do? Listen, guided missiles. Guided missiles. When they're in the hangar, they're just there. They're going nowhere. But once they move that guided missile out and they launch it, then they start directing it. Just launch, and God will direct you. And it may not be the same thing till the day you die. I mean, I got a whole bunch of things I've done, okay? Just God's just directing you, okay? So that's my challenge. Can we pray? Wow, praise God. Okay, all right, I think you get it. Blue cards, hallelujah. Father God, we just come to you in the name of Jesus. And Lord, I stand before some amazing people, your people, Father, that you have called, gifted, incredible callings and giftings, Lord. I am in awe, and it is such an honor. And I thank you, God, that you want to show all of us our purposes, Father. And I thank you that you want us to come to this place that we have this bond servant relationship with you. Totally surrendered. Father, I thank you that we come to this place where we go, God, it's not my time. It's yours. God, it's not my schedule. I give this schedule to you. God, I am forever thankful for what you've done through Jesus. And I'm here today to say, Lord, I surrender my life, my plans, and I say, I'm your servant. I'm your bondservant. So, Father, I thank you. Just this is like a holy moment. Just get real quiet. You know, some of you are probably at the beginning stage, Lord. I don't know what my purpose is. You know, it's a growing thing. And really, you can ask, and he'll fill you in. Okay, and then just jump in. Others of you, you've been sitting on it, girl. Okay, guys, you've been sitting on it. All right? And maybe something happened in life, and you backed away. Today's the day to just say, Lord, I surrender my life. Come to serve you. All right? And guys, you know, I have to do this a lot because the world starts pulling me all over the place and I have to go, Lord, I recommit my life to be a bondservant to you. So how about today? Everybody say, Lord, thank you for redeeming me, for setting me free. And with all my heart, I surrender my life to be your bondservant. Use me any way you desire, and it'll be good. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, I preached myself happy. Why don't you stand? Praise the Lord. Man, if you need joy in your life, just jump in and serve the Lord. Praise the Lord. Father, I thank you that you have called us and you blessed us. We are the head and not the tail, above and not beneath. We have been blessed coming in, and Father, I send them out blessed going out. And Father, that they are doers of your word and their life is being transformed, Father, and they are touching other people's life to know you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. If you would like prayer or encouragement, we got a bunch up here. Otherwise, I'm going to race in the back and say hi to everybody because, you know, it's my fun place. Okay, wait. Now you're dismissed.